You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. Let's talk about the city of Corner Brook in Canada. They're reporting that private information on their website was accessed by four different unauthorized users. These users managed to access the directory and the website, which contained information used in a previous voters list, so names, addresses, dates of birth, et cetera, et cetera. And this is normally inaccessible, but it was exposed, and so they are looking at about 10,000 people up in Corner Brook, Canada. Heads up to you. Moving on, let's keep it in Canada and go to planetdrugsdirect.com. This is based out of Winnipeg, and they were offline for a good while after telling customers that their information, including medications and medical history, may have been compromised in a security incident. As of about 2 weeks ago or so, Planet Drugs Direct said that the website had not been reachable for 36 hours, and basically, we are looking at a potential breach of 400,000 customers that have used that. And when I looked a couple of weeks ago, they were actually back online, but they had zero notification whatsoever on their webpage that I could find. And usually when you've got something like that, there are compliance laws, and I know Canada's pretty good about that. So heads up if you use Planet Drugs Direct for cheaper medications out of Canada. Moving on, I'm going to give you two updates on Wawa. If you recall, they had a massive data breach of 850 stores months ago, and basically here come the lawsuits. So America's First Choice Federal Credit Union just filed a lawsuit following this data breach, and obviously, here we are. I'm guessing that First Choice Federal Credit Union had a lot of customers of Wawa. Wawa is a massive chain in that region. Another update on Wawa: this past Monday, meaning about a week or so ago, hackers put up for sale the payment card details of more than 30 million Americans and over 1 million foreigners on Joker Stash. This is a card fraud forum in the dark web. Now, and I quote, since the breach may have affected over 850 stores and potentially exposed 30 million sets of payment records, it ranks among the largest payment card breaches of 2019 and of all time. This is according to researchers looking into this. So this is on the level of Target or Home Depot, et cetera, et cetera. So heads up, Wawa users. Moving on, let's talk about Panama Buena Vista Union School District in California. All schools and Windows operating system computers were affected by ransomware. They specifically got TrickBot, which is a nasty one that shut that school district down. So hopefully they are back up online now. Moving on, let's talk about the New Mexico Public Regulation Commission. This is a state agency that regulates public utilities, and they got quote unquote hacked by an outside source. And so they are looking into this right now, and they are not sure who hacked them and what has been going on here. But if there's any updates, I'll let you know. Moving on, let's talk about the Arrigo Automotive Group in West Palm Beach, Florida. They got hit with ransomware, and rather than pay the ransom, their IT team chose to involve the FBI, purchase 250 new computers, and leverage external security response experts. And so they basically just rebuilt the network from scratch. But heads up, if you have anything to do with the Arrigo Automotive Group, I don't know if this will affect your ability to, let's say, get your car serviced or whatever they do. Moving on, let's talk about basically the password leakage here. A hacker has published this week a massive list of Telnet credentials. Telnet is a protocol that allows you to take remote access or connect remotely to a computer via what's known as command line interface. Nothing graphical. You literally have to type in commands, but then you can get access to things. So they linked a list of Telnet credentials for more than 515,000 servers, home routers, and IoT or Internet of Things smart devices. Now, this list was published on a popular hacking forum, and it includes the IP address, meaning where you can find it on the world, along with usernames and passwords for the Telnet service, and here we are. So that's a very serious issue and really underscores the reason why we need to have good IoT security. Moving on, we're going to be talking about Peekaboo Moments. Now, this is basically your baby's first data breach if you're using Peekaboo Moments and you are a new parent. Thousands of baby videos and images that were basically left unsecured and exposed to the internet by Peekaboo Moments. And basically, the app's developer, which was BitHouse Inc., left an Elasticsearch database open on the internet. And so this Peekaboo Moments database contained more than 70 million log files compromising more than 100 gig, with information appearing to date from March of 2019. Exposed data data includes email addresses, detailed device data, and often links to photos and videos, all of which get stored on servers hosted in Singapore or by Alibaba Cloud, which is based out of Singapore. Now, the researcher who found this estimates that at least 800,000 email addresses are in the exposed data. This also has sensitive data on babies as well, because this database has a growth tracker that allows people to record babies' length and weight. It also has a field for the baby's birth date. For some babies whose data is exposed, this is very possibly quite possibly their very first data breach, and so that is a very serious issue, because part of what this also includes is GPS locations, as you are tagging videos and everything, which could potentially give some kind of predator a roadmap, into these kids' worlds. So it's a mess. But if you use Peekaboo Moments, heads up to you. You've got a serious issue on your hands. Next up, let's talk about Honda. Yes, that Honda. Personal details of more than 976 million customers were leaked. Now, these are all records, and nearly 1 million files were exposed in a Honda Automotive Company database, which contained various details about thousands of vehicles and their owners. So this is 976 million records. It was not necessary to enter a password or any other authentication method to access this information, and we are talking full names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, makes and model of vehicle, number of vehicle plates, and records of maintenance services. So heads up, if you drive a Honda, you just got exposed here in North America. Moving on, let's talk about Hannah Anderson. This is a children's clothing company, and you know where I'm going with this. They just told customers that their card payment system may have been compromised in a security breach between mid-September and mid-November of last year. I don't have more on that, but heads up, Hannah Anderson patrons, I guess. Moving on, the city of Detroit. Up to 15,000 current and former Detroit employees and 300 Detroit water and sewage customers may have had their information compromised in a data breach last week. This is according to the city. Now, the January 16th data breach affected fewer than 10 employee email accounts, but some contained sensitive employee and DWSD, I'm guessing that's Water and Sewer Department of Detroit, their customer data, and this was a phishing attack. Moving on, let's talk about Dallas County, Iowa, because we still have a ton to go through. The Department of Human Services announced a data breach which included personal information in Dallas County. Now, DHS said 4,784 people's information was compromised due to a breach on November 25th of 2019. And so we are looking at names, mailing addresses, dates of birth, social security numbers, driver's license number, banking or wage information, disability information, medical information, receipt of Medicaid, mental health information, provider information, substance abuse information, illegal drug use information, or prescription drug information. This has been a busy week or two or three for Dallas County, Iowa. Moving on, let's go to Beaumont Health in Dearborn, Michigan. A data security breach at Beaumont Health is impacting more than 1,100 patients, according to hospital officials. A now fired employee who worked in registration was basically going through and looking at all of these records and also sharing them with a person that was working on behalf of a personal injury attorney. So talk about ambulance chasing here, my God. So basically, this person was giving out personal information, medical information to a lawyer, and I guess the lawyer could go and try to get clients. So talk about horrible. All right, moving on, the city of Potsdam in Germany, they severed the administration server's internet connection following a cyber attack that took place about 2 weeks ago. Emergency services, including the city's fire department, were fully operational and the payments were not affected, but they were definitely under cyber attack. So heads up, city of Potsdam. Moving on, we're going to be talking about office space company Regis. They accidentally posted performance ratings on 900 managers to a public Trello board. That data has since been removed, but if you were a manager on Regis, everybody knew if you were good, bad, or otherwise in terms of management style, because they dumped it out there. Moving on, let's talk about Microsoft. They just declared a security breach that took place in the last month in December of 2019. In a blog post a couple weeks ago, they said that an internal customer support database that was storing anonymous user analytics was accidentally exposed online, without proper protections between December 5 and December 31st of last year. So heads up if you use specifically Microsoft Azure. Moving on, let's talk about the Oman United Insurance Company, SAOG. This is one of the largest insurers in Oman, and they just got hit with a ransomware attack. The company notified the Capital Market Authority in Oman that bad actors had attacked their main server on January 1st, 2020, and managed to encrypt some data, but they released no other specific information. I do not know Oman's data privacy laws, but heads up, if you are watching or rather listening to this in Oman and you use the United Insurance Company, SAOG. Moving on, let's talk about Mitsubishi Electric. They'd released a statement confirming that the company was hit by a data breach dating back to June of 2019. It's speculated that cyber attack is linked to a Chinese cyber espionage group known as TIC or Bronze Butler, and they are well known for targeting Japan over the past few years. The unauthorized access was tracked to a compromised employee account. Hackers were also able to swipe 200 megabytes of files by accessing Mitsubishi Electric's internal systems and network. So heads up, Mitsubishi Electric folk. Moving on, let's talk about a Chinese facial recognition database that has information on thousands of children in it. And this was stored without any kind of protection on the internet. And this cache was connected to a surveillance system labeled Safe School Shield and contained facial identification and location data on thousands of children. China has a huge black market for stolen data, so this could put these kids at risk. That's awesome. So heads up. If you're listening to this in China, you probably aren't. Moving on, the city of New Orleans, we've got an update there because they got hit pretty hard a short while ago. And basically, they had a cyber attack. Now they are saying that it's been more than $7 million in terms of impact analysis to the city. Now, this is a number that Mayor LaToya Cantrell says is continuing to grow. But she adds the city will be able to recover at least $3 million of this from their cybersecurity insurance policy, which was purchased before the attack. And this really underscores the need for cyber insurance. Moving on, let's talk about Sext Panther. This is an Arizona-based adult website. Don't confuse it with the one I mentioned like 10 minutes ago or so. They are basically stored more than 11,000 identity documents on an exposed Amazon Web Services storage bucket, including passports, driver's licenses, and social security numbers without a password. The company says on its website that it uses these documents to verify the ages of models with whom the users communicate. Most of the exposed identity documents contain personal information such as names, home addresses, dates of birth, biometrics, and their photos. So there you go. This is obviously a very serious issue. Moving on, let's talk about the United Nations real quick. An internal confidential document from the United Nations leaked to the New Humanitarian publication and was also seen by the Associated Press, and it says that dozens of servers were compromised at offices of the UN in Geneva and Vienna. The servers include the UN Human Rights Office, which has oftentimes been a lightning rod for criticism, typically from autocratic governments, for its ability to basically call out said governments for human rights abuses. And so the UN spokesperson for the Human Rights Office, Robert Colville, said, "We were hacked. We face daily attempts to get into our computer systems. This time they managed, but it did not get very far. Nothing confidential was compromised." So here we go. And the UN was hit, and hopefully they've got a handle on that. And moving on, and we'll make this the last one for the week. And there's actually plenty more, but I will continue on in the next show. We're going to be talking about Electronic Warfare Associates. Basically, this is a 40-year-old electronics company and is a well-known government contractor, and they just suffered a ransomware infection. Now, this infection hit the company last week. Among the systems that had its data encrypted during the incident were the company's web servers, and signs of this incident were still visible online. Encrypted files and ransom notes were still cached in Google search results, and you can go looking for these things even as they took these down. And that is obviously a very serious issue because this is a warfare contractor for the DoD that basically does a lot of sensitive work. And if that were to get into the wrong hands, that could be a serious breach of defensive capability for the United States. So we'll see where that goes. Those were your breaches of the week. This was an absolutely crazy list this week. And here we go. So were you affected? Let me know. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for the deep dive segment, where we take a closer and deeper look at a cybersecurity, cyber warfare, or technology issue around us. And if you have any suggestions for a deep dive segment or something you'd like me to dive into, you can once again find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. That's questions@securityfanatics.com. I am more than happy to take a look at it. And if it meets our standards, we are more than happy to do a deep dive on it. So let's begin. And this week's deep dive is actually on Ring Doorbell. Some recent news came to light, and I'm just throwing my hands up here with Ring. I have done a lot of videos. I've talked about them on the air here, done podcasts, even in writing form about Ring. But I wanted to bring it all together here because they've got quite the past when it comes to this kind of stuff. And it's not letting up anytime soon, and it seems to be getting worse. And so let me run you through a brief history before we actually talk about the topic at hand here. But it all just kind of comes together here in a way that I don't think a lot of people realize. And if you are basically using a Ring doorbell, heads up, because this is one of those things that you should know about. And if you're fine with it, okay, then I have no problem with you. But if you were not aware that this was going on, I would really second guess or question why you still would be using a Ring doorbell after this. Now, to begin, I'm going to start this out on a personal note. In the beginning of 2018, I wrote an article for Forbes called The Five Laws of Cybersecurity. I eventually turned that into a TED Talk or a TEDx Talk, and if you've seen it, thank you for watching, or if you've read the article, thank you for reading that. And in that article, and I remember this specifically, I had written that basically in law number four, with innovation comes opportunity for exploitation, that the Ring doorbell had actually been hacked. And when I released this article, and I pushed it out on all my normal, you know, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, etc., I got a Twitter message very quickly from a woman that I had never heard of saying, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you. I found something factually incorrect regarding, your article." So I sent her a direct message on Twitter and basically said, you know, "Please let me know. I take this very seriously. I try to be as accurate as possible. I have editors as well, you know, so it's not just me, you know, randomly publishing whatever I want, factual otherwise, on Forbes. You know, I want to know this, and I will make sure to, you know, correct the record if there's something wrong." And so her response to me was, "Well, Ring doorbell, you said Ring doorbell in your article that Ring doorbell was hacked. Ring doorbell, in fact, has never been hacked." And I said, "Okay, thank you for, thank you for your response." As you can see in the article, I linked to the actual article by the pen test partners out of the United Kingdom, where they did exactly that. They hacked the Ring doorbell. Here's a step-by-step screenshot-by-screenshot guide of exactly what they did to bypass the security on the Ring doorbell and actually get into the Ring doorbell. They absolutely were hacked. What I am saying is factually correct. I didn't hear back from that person after I responded to her in that manner. And the next thing I know, I was actually contacted by Forbes. And I remember this. I was actually sitting in medieval times, and they had changed the wording in my article. So basically, this woman, this individual, had in some way, shape, or form gone directly to Forbes, and they had softened the language. While they did not remove the fact that Ring doorbell had been quote unquote hacked, they basically changed the wording to say, well, it had a serious vulnerability. But I also mentioned in the article originally, and they also kept that in there, that within 2 weeks, Ring had actually fixed that incident where they got hacked. So that really annoyed me, in the sense that here we are, you know, I am being as accurate and as factually correct as I can be. They were indeed hacked. That article still exists. You can go look at it right now. My words got changed, and I think incorrectly. I later learned that Ring was going through the sale of themselves to Amazon, and so this individual was part of a third-party marketing and press company that was looking to run damage control. They were looking, for these various negative, let's say, things on Ring, because they didn't want anything to, let's say, lower the cost of the sale to Amazon or possibly ruin it. And I speculate that I got caught up in that by virtue of it. But we have had a lot of different things, not just Ring doorbell security being laxed, where, let's say, an attacker with a little bit of skill can get through these. We also know, thanks to The Intercept, that a whistleblower came forward and basically said, you know, we have millions of Ring doorbells, you know, in the United States, whatever the count is, and they have third parties sitting in either Romania or Ukraine that have complete unfettered access. They have not been encrypting the back end of these videos so that anybody in the company, specifically the leadership and executive, could go to any doorbell, know who you are, see any of your footage at any given time. Presumably, it would make it much easier to sell this information to third parties if it wasn't encrypted, because now Ring has access to all of your videos, and that's exactly what is now happening. So by virtue of this, we now have Amazon that has purchased Ring, and concurrent with Ring, Amazon has been working on a facial recognition technology called Recognition. I've talked about that at length and its false positives, and you know it looked at 535 members of the U.S. Congress against a criminal mugshot database of 10,000 that didn't include their faces and found 28 members of Congress to be criminals. Feel free to insert your own joke right there. You know, I've done that bit quite a bit because I think it really underscores the problem. But now they are starting to integrate this into Ring doorbell. And so I've done videos and talked about this and written on how now law enforcement doesn't need a warrant to go in and just look at your videos at will. They are creating a massive surveillance network through the Ring doorbell that more than 600 law enforcement agencies around the United States are actively using to try and, you know, either fight crime or whatever. But here we are, basically a service you're paying for, and they are letting anybody, you know, walk in, you know, to your doorbell. That's a very serious violation of privacy, and a lot of people basically don't realize this. And so now, the reason why we're talking about Ring doorbell here is because the latest news is just, it's even more of a bombshell. Ring doorbell is actually sending your personal information to Google, to Facebook, and others. And it's absolutely nuts. Now, this study, basically, this was done by a digital nonprofit group called the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and they are doing the cyber lords' work, let me tell you here. They found that the Android version of the Ring app was apparently packed with third-party trackers that gather users' personally identifiable information and send it to different companies. They are data mining you in this app. Now, the study found information included names, IP addresses, and mobile networks was leaking to 5 different tracking services. And let me go through these real quick. So the first one is Facebook. Amazon is leaking your information to Facebook via its Graph API. Facebook owns Graph API, and they're getting users' time zones, device model, screen resolution, and unique identifiers from the phone. The next organization that's getting your information is called Branch. They describe themselves as a deep linking platform, and they're getting a number of unique identifiers, as well as each user's IP address, that's the physical location of your computer on the internet, device model, and screen resolution as well. The third company is called AppsFlyer. They tout themselves as a big data company, and they're getting a range of information, including sensor data related to the magnetometer in your phone, the gyroscope, and accelerometer as well. And so they are tracking basically all of those things for you. Mixpanel is number 4 here, and they're getting the most information that we know of right now, and I will get to why we know of in that moment. They're getting the most information that we know of, including users' full names, email addresses, device information, and app settings. And the last one is Google, and this is why we say, as we know, for Mixpanel, because they're getting an amount of customer data that has quote unquote yet to be determined. Now, I don't know if they tested the iPhone app as well, but the iPhone apps have the ability to install trackers in them as well. It's integrated into the coding, and Apple allows that. So presumably the Apple version of the Ring doorbell app would also be doing the same thing. Now, here's my thoughts on this, and I think that this is just a huge issue. But let me get this out of the way, because a lot of mobile apps contain third-party trackers. basically Facebook, Google, and some others have built massive engines that basically appeal to third-party developers because it gives them the ability to start monetizing data and pay these developers even more than just simply selling the app or let's say having in-app purchases for a game or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, that's pretty normal. And so that in that sense, Ring is not doing anything that another app, you know, wouldn't have already done. But here's the difference. You pay for Ring. This is not a free game that I can download and play in perpetuity for free. And so, you know, the developer is now banking on, you know, getting my device information for a little bit of money in exchange for Facebook, you know, in exchange with Facebook and Google. You're actually paying for this. They are promising security. And I will quote Business Insider here, which is one of the three or four sources I used when I was putting together my notes, because I think they really sum this up well. And I quote, Ring's promise of security is undermined by its Android app handing out personally identifiable data to third parties. To quote the EFF, this data is given to parties either only mentioned briefly, buried on an internal page users are unlikely to ever see, or not listed at all. And this is a problem that we have with Amazon, which compounds it. You're paying for an app, you have an expectation of privacy, security. You probably thought these things were being encrypted on the back end. They explicitly state that they can go in and watch these videos from your Ring doorbell, unlike other companies out there like Abody, for example, and SimpliSafe, which state that none of their employees have access to your footage because they encrypt it as they store it in their cloud. Ring basically says, no, we're not going to do that. You're absolutely paying for this. And they are putting out a privacy policy that basically you can't really see or find, you know, for this, according to the EFF. And I think that's a huge problem. And thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was another fun show. And I think we covered a lot of really good stuff. And I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It was a really good time. And I hope you keep tuning in. Thank you very much for listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show here with Nick Espinoza. And if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, absolutely anything, once again, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. And you can always send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. Don't be shy. I love the feedback. We've been having a great time with the show. And as always, stay safe and stay online, everyone. Thanks for listening.